The playoffs are here, and every moment is bigger than the next. This is Brewers Extra Innings in the Playoffs.
Adamas, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up, it is good! Off the top of the wall and out of here! Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Now to break it all down live from American Family Field, here is your host, Dom Catronio.
All I can say simply, are you not entertained? What a game, an all-time classic here in Milwaukee. Brewers win, force game three. The kids are all right. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Needless to say, the slogan came through tonight. Undaunted is the word of the night. And that home run you just heard from Garrett Mitchell's bat was set up because of this home run from Jackson Churio.
The pitch. Fly ball. Right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio. No moment too big for that 20-year-old. Got a pitch up and out, and he sent it out into the Mets bullpen in deep right center. 3-3 in the eighth. And life is back in Milwaukee.
Jeff Levering's call. Again, you got to let the call breathe. You got to play the whole thing there. Let's first and foremost, the history that Jackson Churio put himself into today. This one, first, I had this in that he's the youngest player ever to have a leadoff home run in the postseason at 20 years and 205 days. He's the second youngest player in MLB postseason history to have a multi-homer game. The only one younger, Andrew Jones in 1996 when he was 19 years old. And then finally, and maybe the piece de resistance, is that Jackson Churio is the second player in Major League Baseball history to hit two game-tying homers in the same postseason game. The other, Babe Ruth. This is the company he's sharing now in his first two games in the postseason at 20 years young. He is a Milwaukee Brewer for the next 8 years at least. Wow. Welcome to October.
Unbelievable.
It really is.
Undefined. But before we get started here, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Baseball is great, and today is for you. Happy birthday, big guy.
If you're watching on YouTube, I've got some cupcakes here, courtesy of Sophia Minard. Yeah, I hit the 3-0
today. Happy birthday, Dom. What a great birthday gift.
Thank goodness.
Come up to the ballpark and watch it. This guy, he's just unbelievable. You can't throw a ball up over the middle of the plate and get the ball up in the zone because he is just so quick, and he's going to hit the ball out of the ballpark anywhere in the ballpark, just a matter of where the ball is pitched. And I'll tell you, just to watch him hit that leadoff home run in the beginning, in the first inning, and then come back to start that eighth inning, you knew something good was going to happen. It had to happen, and he started a lot of it. I'll tell you what, he put a charge in these fans here. I don't think I've ever heard it as loud as it was when he hit that home run.
I think it's because it's him, right? It's because it's Churio. It's the guy. You know he's going to be around for a while. We're going to see a lot of 11 jerseys over the next few years here at the ballpark. But let's just jump into this eighth inning here first, right off the top. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can call, you can text. We'd love to have you with us here tonight. So the eighth inning begins with the Brewers still down by a run. We'll talk about the Brewers' bullpen and how an amazing job they did tonight. But the inning begins with Phil Maton coming on. And the Brewers just saw Maton over the weekend. He pitched in the doubleheader game on Monday. He has been used a lot, and he has been exposed a lot. And quite frankly, he's not known as a velocity guy. He's known as somebody that can mix speeds and keep you off balance and that sort of thing. And Churio's an aggressive hitter, okay? He loves to swing first pitch. But he takes ball one. He takes a cutter for strike two. And when he gets that nod going, that should be like, oh, no. If that means, oh, my God, I'm pitching through his game plan. Does he see something? Am I tipping? Next pitch, cutter, goes with it, opposite field. I think that's what's most impressive to me about Churio tonight. Both of them were opposite field home runs from a 20-year-old with that kind of approach to understand, hey, I don't need to pull everything. I've got pop to the other direction. And that's why it was so important for the Brewers just get one earlier in the game, because you had the tying right at the plate all night long. And for Churio to tie things up finally, to lead off the eighth inning without seeing Diaz, I thought was massive moment number one.
Well, I think anytime you gotta go to mound, you have a guy who's not a velocity style guy, you know you're going to get some stuff off speed. Secondary pitches are going to be the key to it. But I think it's the biggest thing that we've seen out of him. And ever since the time we talked way back in June, where he was then trying to maybe pull the ball a bit, trying to be aggressive at the plate. Boy, now you watch him at the plate. He just stands up there and he lets the ball travel. A lot of great ball players, when they can let the ball travel, be as quick as he is to the ball, can make things happen. I'll tell you, both home runs tonight, I thought he did an excellent job of staying back on it, letting the ball travel, taking a good look at it, and putting a good swing on it. It was, pitches were mistakes. If you ask the pitcher, say, you know, I got that ball up. I think the last one was a cutter that spun, and he went up and he hit the ball at a ballpark. But you know what? You can't make mistakes to good hitters. And he's showing us right now that he's one of the, for a young player, as young as he is, he's one of the best in all of baseball, the way he approaches it, approaches the ball, hits the ball at a ballpark.
Blake Perkins, I don't know if I'm going to get this in otherwise. He had a great game tonight, honestly. Blake Perkins there in the two spot. He goes 2-for-3 with a sac fly and then a single there in the eighth inning, but he's erased as William Contreras bounced into a double play. So bases empty, two outs, and Maton seeming to get the reins back. And in fact, he got ahead of Willy Adames 0-2. And this was a big at-bat for Willie. To me, just watching in the press box, he's a little out of sync right now. He didn't have the greatest end to the season. He's trying some new things right now. He falls behind 0-2 on Maton. He's swinging. Fights off a couple of pitches. And then just pulls a single through the left side. Gets the job done. Meets the game halfway, as Murph likes to say. And first pitch swinging. Garrett Mitchell, his first at-bat of the game, mind you, because he came in to pinch run for Gary Sanchez back in the sixth when he was caught stealing. He repents for that, and he goes first pitch swinging liner to right center field. I mean, when it was traveling, Augie, I thought, is that going to be high enough? Is that also, did he hit it so hard that Willie's not going to have the chance to score from first if this is a double? And it just jumps enough over the yellow line, hits the metal wall in the back, home run, he goes nuts, the crowd goes berserk, and the Brewers have a 5-3 lead. Garrett Mitchell showing signs of life and showing what he's really capable of here in the last month and a half.
You know, after he got two outs and Willy Adames came to play, I thought he did an outstanding job. He was hitless in the series so far, but he fell behind. What did he do? He goes out and gets the ball. A lot of times when you see Willy really swinging back, he'll stay back, especially with two strikes, tried the ball, hit the ball up the middle the opposite way. That time he got a little bit of breaking ball on the outside, and he went and got aggressive with it and was able to pull it in left field. And I think what Garrett Mitchell came to the plate, he said, first thing I see, if it's in the middle of the plate or one more I can hit it, I'm going to swing. And he did hit the ball in the ballpark. Put a good swing on a little bit of a breaking ball that was up in the zone, but he put just a perfect swing on it, hit the ball in the ballpark, gave the Brewers a 5-3 lead.
And this is something that we talked about with Garrett toward the end of the season and how he's feeling like he's on top of the baseball again. And it was a hanging breaking ball, and you don't hit those hard unless you're on top of the baseball. And the fact that he hit it as hard as he did, 107 off the bat, on a hanging breaking ball, you're supplying all the power, and it, what, got 60 feet in the air? It was a línea. And Garrett, this goes back to the A's series, August 24th, over his last 92 plate appearances, including tonight, over his last 92 plate appearances, he's hitting .284, he's got an OPS that's nearly 1,000 at .998, in this time, 14 extra base hits. For Garrett, scratching his potential. I know he didn't get the start today against a left-handed pitcher. He might not get the start tomorrow against a left-handed pitcher. But for him to be the first guy off your bench whenever you need it, when the righties are in, because this Mets bullpen is very right-handed, you're seeing what a weapon he could be moving forward.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, you see him, like you say, since you've been hitting the ball real well. I think he's, when he's patient at the plate, it just seems like sometimes when pitchers get ahead, you can really pitch him in certain zones. But I think tonight when he goes up there early in the count, what he tries to do is try to get a ball in a zone, whether it's a breaking ball or a fastball. If it's that medium part zone, down in the part middle part of the zone, he's going to go after. And he got that tonight. He got that breaking ball that was hanging a little bit, just a little bit up from where the pitcher wanted it, and he went out and attacked it. That's a young player that's going up there saying, you know what, I'm put in a situation, I'm going to be aggressive. That's the only way to be at this time juncture of the game. I'm going to be impressive. I get a pitch, I'm going to hit it. He got the pitch, he hit it, and gave the Brewers the 5-3 lead.
855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the program, one of my questions I have, and I put this out on social media. Look, nothing's going to top Coop in 82, okay? That's going to be the most famous postseason hit until the Brewers win a World Series.
That's right.
But where does tonight rank? I mean, I know the series isn't over yet. Is it ahead of Niger? Is it ahead of Moose? Is it ahead of those guys? Is it ahead of, I mean, there are some homers even in 81 that I think of. I mean, it's just like, where does this one rank? It might be too soon, it might be too fresh, but I'd love to hear the fans' thoughts. And obviously, you've seen a lot of the most famous home runs and the most famous moments in postseason history for the Brewers. But I mean, whether it's Chirios or Mitchell's, the fact that you have options, I think, is something to talk about here tonight as well. 855-616-1620. You can text it, you can call it. We want to get to the phone lines, though, for now. Dave in Oak Creek. Dave, you're back on the show, live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. Yeah, tonight was electric at that field. Jackson Chirios is just amazing. To have him on our team and do it what he did, to carry this team as a 20-year-old, to start it off and to finish it up, to put that in a position for Garrett Mitchell, who was really struggling yesterday and came through today for the team, was just amazing. And I think it's just the start of what could be in the future. This is exactly what they needed to be. They got such a young squad right now, and the pitching did fabulous. I mean, after those three runs in the first two innings, they got nothing. And that crowd stood in there, and I think they all knew something was going to happen. We were just waiting for that to happen, and sure, you'll carry the team.
Yeah, I thought the crowd was incredible tonight. Good call there, Dave. And I thought, you know, once they found life, once they scored that second run in the fifth inning to feel like you were in it, leadoff double from Terang, who also had a great game, I thought that the Brewers felt like, okay, every pitch does matter now, and you're starting to feel that tension where you're hanging on every batter because you know, just like we saw in the eighth, it just took one swing to tie the game. When you feel like you're actually in it, it's obviously easier to get involved in the cheer and the stand and all that fun stuff. But in a one-run game, it's practically a tie game in the postseason because of A, how gassed the Mets bullpen is right now, and B, how confident the Brewers are in coming from behind, including the regular season. That's their 40th win in come-from-behind fashion. This is something they've been doing all season long.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I thought the key to the ballgame was bringing in McGill.
Yes.
Without a doubt, when you have a situation where which way is the game going? What have you done in the first two innings? Boy, you made some defensive mistakes. They got a couple breaks and got some good big base hits. They go up, they score three runs. You come in that fourth inning, they got an opportunity with a guy on base. What does Murph do? I thought that was as good a move as you could have made by bringing in McGill, getting out of that inning, and then going the next inning and have a dominant inning. It started the trend of this bullpen and going back, in which they ended up with 4 1/3 innings of shutout baseball.
Yeah.
I thought that was the key to the whole game, of the momentum started. You could see it flowing. You knew the Brewers were going to score. How were they going to score? We didn't know. We didn't know when they were going to score, but we knew something good was going to happen. That's the way this team has been all year long. But it all starts by playing a good, sound defense, which they did from inning three on, and also the McGill starting out from there. Everybody that pitched from Piamps, Koenig, and Ross, and Williams at the end, I'll tell you, they were just awesome and throwing the ball where they had to, pitching ahead, and throwing zeros on the scoreboard, exactly what they had to do.
Well, let's break that down a little bit further coming up after the break. Plenty of texts that have rolled in here as well. Chirios, obvious player of the game, but after him, I got to give it to the bullpen. As you were saying, they stood their ground and came off the mound, fired up each time. I feel like they kept the team going. Happy freaking birthday, Dom. Bleeping Undaunted. What a great Brewer win. Move over Reggie Jackson. There might be a new Mr. October in Jackson Churio. Let's tap the brakes there. There's only one Reggie. All right, we don't want to compare that, but maybe. I mean, he's on a heck of a run right now. Brewers have a superstar, which makes them a serious player. Appreciate the text there from Doug. Let's take a break. Come back. We might have some news on the game time tomorrow. By the time we come back, stay with us here on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, as the Brewers win 5-3 in Game 2 of the Wild Card Series. And it's official, Game 3, night game, 6:08, first pitch tomorrow night right here at American Family Field. If you go to Brewers.com right now, you can find some $10 tickets. Come on, 10 bucks to watch this team. Get in the building, get loud, get a rally towel. Let's have some fun here at the ballpark tomorrow. There's nothing like playoff baseball. Let's get to a few texts here, then we'll talk about the bullpen a little bit deeper. Josh in Milwaukee, I was stewing on yesterday's game all day, but tonight was a real palate cleanser. It certainly wasn't perfect, but the electric comeback made it all worthwhile. It's only fitting that Cheerio and Mitchell were the ones to get it done. See you tomorrow. From Liam, the younger guys have pulled through this team through the series, and I pray that tomorrow the older guys step to the plate. Disappointed in Hoskins, but not surprised that he's been the story literally all year, and he's had some big hits. I thought McGill before the eighth was interesting, but it worked out. I was starting to panic that this is going to be the last game, and my favorite ball player on my favorite team, Willie, not today. Appreciate the text there, Liam. So let's talk about the bullpen, and you already mentioned McGill. And I think Pat Murphy already talked about this as well in his post-game with the media. When we looked at this, and this was my key in yesterday's game and the preview of it, when Freddie came out of the game, they went to Yoel Piamps, and we all know how the fifth inning ended. But tonight, Frankie Montas got the chance to at least pitch this, you know, the bottom three hitters of the fourth inning. He gave up the leadoff single to Starling Marte, then struck out the next two and just simply said, nope, you've given up three runs, two of them unearned on his own error, and you're not going to get Lindor a third time. The game's in the balance, even though they're down 3-1 in the fourth inning, and not going to Piamps yet. He goes to McGill, who's arguably his next best right-handed reliever. And traditionally, you think, oh, just put him in the eighth. And this is what you have to forward think things. And McGill is the MVP of the game for me. I know Churio and Mitchell did what they did. But the fact that McGill gets the fly out of Lindor, strikes out Iglesias, strikes out Vientos, yes, he hit Nimmo, strikes out Alonso, held the line, fired up his dugout, fired up the crowd. That was the moment momentum started to change, and of course the Brewers scored in the bottom of the fifth.
And you just said it, it's when the momentum changed. I think that was a brilliant move by Murph, and they probably talked about before the game, what are we going to do? How can we change the complexion of the game? What is one guy that you have in that bullpen, after Piamps probably, that you can go to that can be dynamic and change the complexion of the game? And McGill's been there all year long. He's that guy that can come in the game, and he did exactly what was needed. Got Lindor out, next inning, punched out three guys in a row. And when he walked off that mound after the last strikeout, he was pumped up, and he had trying to get everybody pumped up. Momentum changes because you go out there and you change it by the way that you go about it. And striking out the guys and being dominant as he was really changed the complexion. And this team, after that, they didn't score the runs right away, but defensively played extremely well after that. And the pitchers came in, they threw strikes, and it's exactly what this ball club needed.
I mean, for McGill, a guy, Murph joked after the game, it's like, I don't think he's been in the fourth inning since high school. It was pretty cool to see him fire up the crowd and get some swings and misses. I mean, he struck out Iglesias with 101, and he's going to be available tomorrow. You know you're going to see him again tomorrow. I thought that was just a masterclass of Trevor McGill getting another taste of postseason baseball. Another guy, Piamps. Okay, we got to talk about Piamps because it did not start well. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. 0-2 on Martinez, works it full, walks him. 0-2 on Marte, base hit through the right side. First and second, nobody out after he was ahead in the count. 0-2 on both batters. And then in a way, he got a gift on the next two hitters, both Tyrone and Alvarez, swinging first pitch. I thought that was changed everything. Now, granted, all four of those batters against Pyomps swung at the first pitch. So there was clearly a game plan there for him. But nonetheless, for him to right the ship, they intentionally walk Lindor, which I'm 100 times out of 100 going to do in that situation, to get Iglesias and to battle back to strike out Jose. Man, that could have been a moment that you think, oh my gosh, if this unravels, what are you doing? But it worked out. It's kind of like last night. Well, if it worked out, we say great job. It didn't, so we criticize it. Today, it worked out, so we praise it.
Yeah, and you know, one thing Pyomps did tonight was he was in the strike zone when he needed to be. He was the ability of doing what he's done really good the last 2 months of the season where he's thrown the ball so well is that ability to throw the ball in the strike zone, both his fastball and his slider in the strike zone, but being able to expand the strike zone. What you see him did, he struck out two guys with breaking balls that were just off the outside part of plate. Sure, they took him deep into count, but having that strength and that ability to expand the strike zone really made a big difference. He threw the ball very well tonight. Good bounce back from last night. Got himself in a little trouble the first two guys, but was able to bounce back right away, and that was so important.
I mean, he could go a third day in a row tomorrow, but I imagine it'd only be for like a hitter or two, somebody with a good matchup that they're looking for, that sort of thing, because then after him, you went to the lefty, Jared Koenig. He gave up the single to Alonso, but it was a shattered, broken bat. I thought Koenig did his job tonight, and then they didn't want him to face J.D. Martinez, who's a lefty killer. So you bring in Joe Ross, and then Joe Ross earns his first postseason win. And I want to tell a story about Joe Ross real quick. I had a good conversation with him the other night. Just wanted to catch up with him and talk about his postseason run in 2019 with the Washington Nationals. Mind you, Joe Ross hasn't pitched in the big league since 2021. So the fact that he just won a postseason game for the Brewers as the pitcher of record, I think, is an incredible story on its own. But he reminded me, in 2019, of course, the Nationals won the title. They beat these Brewers. But he wasn't on the roster for the wild card round. He wasn't on the roster for the DS. He wasn't on the roster for the championship series either. He wasn't finally added to the roster until the World Series. He made two appearances, once out of relief and then once in a spot start for Max Scherzer when Scherzer woke up with a locked neck and couldn't pitch in Game 5. All that, he says, gave him perspective and experience that maybe it would be easy to be angry and frustrated that I didn't get into the games earlier, that I wasn't a part of it and that sort of thing. But the fact that he was able to flush in and be ready to go in the World Series, he always carried that with him, that he was going to be ready the moment his name was called in a playoff game once again to feel that electricity. And for him to get the four outs that he got to set the stage for Devin Williams, I think that's just the veteran leadership from him. It's just a quiet veteran there that, look, he doesn't get saves, he doesn't strike out the world, he doesn't have the sexiest role on the planet, but those are the fines, the diamonds in the rough that the Brewers scouting staff, front office, pitching development have been able to find over the years, and that is why you're sitting here talking about a win instead of a loss.
Yeah, you got to give him a lot of credit. His resiliency and having that abilities to stay with himself and say, you know, I can. It's just a matter of I'm going to keep working at this until I do find it. And I'll tell you what, in the second half of the year, he's been just dynamic, being able to throw it. And what does he do? He commands all his pitches. He pitches with confidence. He goes ahead, uses a slide ball when he needs to, and really locates his fastball very well. And I tell you what, I think you get veteran players that go in the game and stay and go out in each day to go out and do the best they can to help that ball club. Boy, what a factor that is in these young kids that are trying to make it and say, hey, we got a veteran here who's on top of the world. Boy, now he's come down. He's going to fight his way back. He just never gave up. His resiliency made him what he is today. And I tell you what, congratulations on that first win. That's a huge win in his career.
He went 4-for-4 in first pitch strikes tonight in the key double play against Alvarez, which set the stage for Devin in the ninth, because I imagine Devin was going to come in for Francisco Lindor if he had come up there in the top of the eighth inning.
I agree.
And then obviously he gets to sit down, relax, then the Brewers take the lead in the bottom of the eighth inning, so it becomes the save situation for Devin, which is cozy for him. He comes in, he throws 10 pitches, 8 of them strikes, 2 swings and misses, a bunch of weak contact. Man, to have that available to you in the bullpen in the ninth inning, wow. Well, I mean, it's good to see him healthy, to say the least, because he was not healthy in last year's playoffs.
He wasn't. And, you know, what's so nice about it, I think he's been building all year, and he had to sit out the first half of the year. He's been building all year for this time, for postseason, getting that opportunity postseason and being able to make a difference. I thought the last several times he's been out is as good as I have seen him being able to command the strike zone with all his pitches. You know, we have to get me over changeup that he throws, and then he throws the airbender in which he can get those. But I'm going to tell you, locating his fastball has been much better
yes.
his last two or three times out and has really made a big difference, makes that airbender just that much better.
I mean, I asked him about the fastball the other day before yeah. game one, and I said, you know, I mean, everyone loves to talk about your changeup, but your fastballs, this is the first time in your career you've thrown more fastballs than changeups.
That's right.
And it's been the most valuable pitch for you in your career since arriving. Why do you think that is? He's like, well, if they want to sit changeup, be my guest. Because, I mean, he sits 95, 96. He pumped in some adrenaline to hit 97. And you see what you see tonight, uncomfy swings, controlling the counts. And even against a guy like Winker, I know he hit the ball decently well to left field. He didn't stand a chance because you just can't feel totally comfortable. If you sell out for the fastball, surprise, airbender. If you sell out for the airbender, fastball at the top of the zone, and you're sitting there, you know, walking back to the dugout.
And that's what he does so well. He locates the ball up in the zone, and he'll throw that ball down in off the plate once in a while or way off the plate a little while. But when he wants to make a difference with that fastball, he creatively gets it up in the zone. And when you get up there, they just can't handle it because they got to look for that changeup and that airbender, and it's down in the zone. You just can't catch up to that. It's such a good pitch. And boy, I tell you what, his command of that pitch up in the zone has been extremely good, and it's made a big difference for him.
All right, let's get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Anthony in Tulsa. Anthony, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. It's just absolutely electric. I think you guys hit it on the head. The move to go to McGill in the middle of the game, outstanding call by Murph, and then Devin in the ninth with the nails. I feel like my palms get sweaty when he comes in the ninth, but absolute nails tonight. We don't even have to talk about Churio. Enough has been said already. The national media is tweeting about him for the first time ever. We're talking about Babe Ruth. I mean, he's the new Mike Trout of the league. But the calls that Murph made out of the bullpen today, I thought were absolutely perfect. And I think it gives us all the momentum in the world to go get it tomorrow night and then walk into Philly on Saturday and grab game one.
Yeah, I love that. I love that optimism. I love everything you said there, Anthony. I think when it comes to McGill, I mean, you already called it too, Augie. That was the moment of the game that he gets out of that fourth inning against Lindor and holding Lindor. Yes, he had a sack fly and a walk, but he also had an intentional walk and a couple of pop-outs. If you're going to keep him down, I mean, he hasn't had a hit in the series, so I know he had a sack fly, but to keep him down is going to be difficult tomorrow.
It will.
I mean, he's at the top of that order for a reason. He's an all-star. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Keep that up somehow, and you're going to find a way tomorrow.
You are, and I'll tell you, you gotta like what this does. And you know, you play a game like you did tonight, and last night just was a struggle. We had a hard time with because we just didn't play good in all the phases of the game.
Truly,
we just didn't defensively play. We didn't swing the bat well second half of the game, and you know, even our pitching and our bullpen wasn't as good as what we really wanted. Boy, you take tonight, and all of a sudden McGill comes in that game, and I saw it right watching this game. It started to change. Yeah, we had the error, and they scored a couple runs that. Misplay at first base, but you know what? After that, McGill came in the game, and all of a sudden, both on every phase of the game, we started taking that step up to where we usually play good sound baseball, and that's so important with this group of guys. One phase of the game helps the other phase, and they did it in every phase in tonight's ball game.
It really was. Real quick, one more call before we get to break, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Michael in Milwaukee. Michael, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. Unreal game, unreal moment. I mean, Jackson Churio, obviously the two homers, but even in the early in the game, getting the guy over, and I think Perk had a great game tonight too, Blake Perkins. Mm-hmm. Made some really good contact, getting the guy in there early in the game. Huge run, obviously, to keep close contact for that just unreal eighth inning. I mean, a memory that everyone, you know, all Brewers fans that, you know, will remember for a long, long, long time. And like the previous caller said, I'm really just hoping we can take that momentum in tomorrow and, you know, keep it rolling. I think it just really shows that this team really is different this year, and they, you know, epitomized that tonight. It was unreal. Just not saying anything crazy here, but mm-hmm. just really cool, and can't wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. Appreciate the call there, Michael. I think he also brought up something important, too. I think more from the fan perspective, not so much from the player's perspective, but for the fans, this felt like, okay, finally, they won a playoff game, right? They hadn't won a playoff game since 2021. Now they have a chance to win a series tomorrow. They haven't had a clinching opportunity since what, 2019?
Yeah.
Since the wild card game?
Absolutely, yeah,
so
you're right.
This is a chance to get back on track and feel like you're a postseason team and get some valuable experience in Philly. Up against the break, I got a ton of texts I want to get to here as well. 855-616-1620. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Day one of age 30 has been a good start, so shout out to Jackson and shout out to Garrett, who are, you know, Jackson's 10 years younger than me, and Garrett, I think, is like 5 or 6 years younger than me, so it's a weird feeling for me. But anyway, a couple of texts here. Unbrew-leavable and happy birthday from Jen in Waterford. Appreciate that. What a nice finish. Two questions. How did Philly have the bye that since we won the division, how would we still have to travel? So Philly finished with simply a better record than us. You know, they had a better record and they had the head-to-head tiebreaker over us too, but they did not have a better record than the Dodgers. So they get to host games one and game two and get home field advantage over the Brewers. And then two, why do the Padres have priority as far as game time? Well, we don't have to worry about it anymore, but part of the reason is because of travel. You know, with a West Coast game, that team would only be going to Los Angeles, and if this game was waiting to be the night game and that game being the day, it would be odd. So it makes a little more sense for local markets to have a night game, but nonetheless, don't have to worry about that anymore with tomorrow being a 6:08 game again tomorrow. $10 tickets are available online. This one, I texted the program last night, said there's a reason there's three on the schedule and how this team has been resilient all year. Today we fought back. Jackson Churio would not be denied and the young guns would not be denied. Tomorrow we win. Let's get AmFam rocking and let's go Brewers. So the question I asked earlier is, where does this rank in the postseason lore of Brewers history? Churio's game-tying homer, the two-homer game, or Garrett Mitchell's go-ahead home run? I know it wasn't a walk-off like Niger Morgan against the Diamondbacks or Moose or obviously Coop in Game 5. It's not going to be ahead of Coop. I think that's very, very, very clear. Man, it was facing elimination. Moose wasn't. I put it right up there with Niger. I think it's really darn close because both were facing elimination. That one was game five. I mean, it's just first run in so long. I struggle to put it ahead of Niger because we have to wait on tomorrow's result. But maybe we look back on it, maybe eventually put it ahead of that one.
I'll tell you, it's going to be interesting depending on the outcome of tomorrow's game with a Brewers win. I'll tell you, tonight, the performance by Churio, what he did in this game to lead off with the home run and then in an eighth inning tie the ball game with the home run. I'll tell you, so many people are going to remember that game. And a lot of reason why they're going to remember it. He's such a young man that's come out and done so many special things. He's shown this team, his teammates, this area, this culture that we have here about Brewer baseball, that, you know, he's going to be something really special. The reason why they signed him to that long-term contract, he has those abilities and he makes it fun to watch. And he's turned into not only just a good baseball player, but a guy who enjoys the game and loves the game. And that just makes it more exciting.
Yeah, this one, Mike in Colorado, trademark win for the 2024 Brewers. I agree entirely. Dan and McQuanago, let's go with like 20 O's. I've been waiting for this one for the past 5 years. We just talked about that, finally getting a dub. Attendance was 40,000 to the person who asked that one. Great crowd. I thought it was rocking tonight. Really, really fun. Not going to lie, I thought Murph was crazy to bring Pyomps in there, but all's well that ends well. This one from the 615. Happy birthday, Dom. My 71st was 3 days ago. Happy birthday to you. Man, was this a monkeys off their backs game? We just talked about that. Could this open up the floodgates and get the bats going? That one from Dennis in Stevens Point. Loves the SMU there, Augie, so compliment to you as well. So I want to talk about a few underrated plays from today's game. And I go all the way back to the first inning. I know the Mets scored first. I know they got the RBI single from Brandon Nimmo. But now looking back at Pete Alonso tripping over his own bat on a great diving stop by Willy Adames. I mean, if he didn't trip over his own bat, I don't say for certain he beats it out, but maybe that inning keeps going, and that would have scored another run from third. It would have made it 2-0, but Alonso tripping over his bat, I mean, it saved a run.
Huge. It saved a run. And as soon as I saw that, and he seemed that tripping over, and they were going to have the ability to turn a double play, that's huge. You're starting momentum, and they don't turn a double play, who knows what's going to happen, way the inning was going, and the way they swung the bat last night. So I thought that was a big part to start off the ball game by holding them just to one run that first inning.
Another play that I wanted to point out too, and was on the offensive side, has already been mentioned tonight. I believe it was by Michael, maybe Anthony, who had called in the Churio opposite field ground ball. You know, just keep the line moving, get a run home, set the stage for Perkins, who also met the game halfway, hitting a sacrifice. I mean, he drove that ball to center field. To see him do that, so for Churio to say oppo, base hit, move the runner over to third, and then Perkins to hit the sac fly, fundamental baseball from the young guys, made this a one run game.
Good hustling out of the box by Terrain to get on, to get the double there. And then I thought Churio just an outstanding job of saying, you know what, I got it. The least thing I've got to do is I got to move him over. He showed something there that says, you know what, sometimes you just do what your job is supposed to be. Yeah, you like to go and you like to swing the bat and hit the ball, drive the ball somewhere. But my job there was to get the runner over. And Perkins, I'll tell you what, in that second spot, when they face a lefty, I think he's really done an outstanding job since they've put him there. Puts the ball in play, doesn't strike out a lot, and really does a nice job on not only on the defensive side, but on the offensive side of having a good at-bat in that second spot is what you really need.
I mean, he had two hits off a lefty tonight. They'll face another lefty tomorrow in Jose Quintana. So keep that in mind for Bryce Terrain, because he's arguably had the best series of anybody on the Brewers offensively, given what he's been able to do and just keeping the Brewers alive. And I mean, what, he had three hits yesterday, right? Pulling up in the box where he had 3 for 5 yesterday, and tonight he adds two more hits. So I wonder, like, do you go ahead and move him higher, but then you got to move Perkins somewhere else? But maybe it works out for him to be like that double leadoff guy in the bottom of the order.
I like that double lead where he is at the bottom of the order. He's like that double leadoff guy. It was kind of nice to see tonight when he as soon as he got on base, boy, there you got you're kind of in the same position you are as if there's a right-hand pitcher and Terrain is leading off. I think that's a good spot for him. It's always good to say, what do you do at the end of a batting order? You put someone there that can put the ball in play and make things happen. And I'll tell you what, Bryce Terrain has done exactly that all year long.
A couple of other plays I wanted to point out here. In the seventh inning, Jared Koenig on the mound and Vientos the batter. He hits a comebacker that clips off of Koenig's glove, ricochets slowly, oddly toward Adames. He recovers. We saw him struggle with the play yesterday. He made a couple of really great plays tonight. He gets Vientos there to lead off the inning. And then Ortiz right behind him, the next batter, Nimmo, hit a hard ground to third. Ortiz made a nice sliding stop to his left, got up, and that's what you were talking about, playing all facets of the game. The defense showed up tonight.
Yeah, it does. And this team, their strengths are that they play good, solid defense. The one thing we really like about this club, and we can say it about all year long, when you score a run against the Milwaukee Brewers, you earn it. And I think they take a lot of credit. They should take a lot of credit for that. They make teams go out and earn their runs. They go play solid defense. Yeah, you see some plays. One biggest kick I get out of watching this game is you see guys make a big play, and all of a sudden they got a big smile on their face that they did something special. But they did something special, and they go make other team go out and earn their runs. I'll tell you what, a lot of credit deserved for this ball club because they've done it all year long.
Yeah, it shifted momentum, the defense there, to just not have a rally. I know Alonzo got a single, but then a little soft liner to third on a nice play by Ortiz later in that frame, too, when Ross entered. Man, the little things were done well after Montas dropped that ball earlier that led to two unearned runs to score in the second inning, but those would be the last runs scored tonight for the Mets because of Montas and the bullpen. So that leads us to tomorrow here, Augie. You got a rookie on the mound, Tobias Myers, who struggles in the first inning, quite frankly. That's been his kryptonite this season. Tobias, obviously, it's going to be a short leash, all hands on deck, any means necessary, get the W. However, we've talked about Tobias as just being a calm demeanor. He'll get fired up for sure, but I really do feel like, all right, you're going to grow up real quick tomorrow, Tobias, and I wish you well. I think it's going to be a fun growing up moment, but don't be shocked if you only get to face 18 batters because that's all they're going to need from you tomorrow.
It'll be fun to see your comeback off of this. I thought when the last time out when they started Jared Koenig and they brought Tobias Myers in the game, I thought was huge. And they not only did it to see if it would work in a playoff situation that they could start Jared and then bring in Tobias. I think it does it for two reasons. I think the first reason you let Jared go out and pitch that first inning, Tobias has a slow start. But when you go put him in a bullpen and he comes out of that bullpen, what is it? He's warmed up, he's watched an inning, he comes in the game, and he's able to get right down and start throwing the ball, which he did. When he came in that ball game, he was like in the fourth or fifth inning. He was in full drive, pitching the ball, throwing the ball to all good situations. I think that might help him for his next start. It just gives you a perspective of saying, you know what, I usually come in the game, I sit back and I try to demonstrate how I'm going to go out and I'm going to set a tone for the game. No, I'm going to go out and the tone is already set. I'm going to come in and be aggressive. It'll be interesting to see the way he starts tomorrow because I think that coming in, that second inning after Jared pitched that first inning is going to help him get that train of thought saying, I've got to come out from inning one in a playoff situation and be aggressive.
I think that with the Brewers bullpen situation tomorrow, maybe you could go with an opener again. Maybe it won't be Koenig given the lack of lefties on this team, but maybe it'll be Ross. Maybe it'll be Mears. Maybe it'll be somebody else. But nonetheless, I mean, Tobias is going to face 18 hitters. Like that's
right.
Your job. You're going to face 18 hitters. Give us your best effort. See what you can do. And then McGill's ready to go. If Ross doesn't start the game, Ross is ready to go. I wonder about Pyomps. Maybe he only gets a batter or two. Devin's obviously ready to go. You haven't needed to use Koenig all that much given the lack of lefties. You've still got Hall available. Ashby can get a rebound chance. You've got Mears available. And you know what? One wild card I think that could be available, Aaron Civale. He only threw 35
Absolutely.
Pitches last night. He should be available in tomorrow's game, too.
He should be. I just think that with that situation at the other day allows him to start the game and come in with a little bit different style of attitude, a little bit different of preparation, of way you think about when you come in the game. Different things in different situations always help you, help a pitcher. And I think coming out of that bullpen every once in a while is not a bad thing because he comes in and makes you be aggressive in the strike zone. I think he's going to walk out of that bullpen, walk on that mound, and I think he's from pitch one, he's going to be aggressive and ready to throw the ball and get the ball over the plate and really give this ball club a good outing.
Let's have some fun tomorrow, eh?
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. It's what baseball is all about.
This is, I mean, do or die. You're the only show in town. 6:08 first pitch. Again, 6:08. It's official. They're going to be the only game three of the wild card round tomorrow, and then they'll play on Saturday if they move on, but that's getting ahead of ourselves here. Tomorrow, 6:08 tickets are available right now. MLB.com, Brewers, Brewers.com, postseason. $10 tickets are available. Come on. $10 tickets to say you're in the building.
Wow.
Let's do it. Let's see you here at the ballpark. And Jerry, we'll see you again tomorrow. Thank you for your time as always.
Oh, it's been great. This has been what a comeback. The Brewers needed something special. I'm going to tell you what. They did it tonight. It was fun to watch. And I'm going to tell you what. Let's get it nice and loud like it was tonight, tomorrow. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be epic. We got some audio to play. We got Greg Matzik warming up in the bullpen. We got a lot to get to still. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. We've gone to the bullpen. Bring in the righty. You're righty, right?
It depends. I write with my left hand. I eat with my left hand. I golf right-handed.
What do you pitch with?
Pitch with my right hand. Okay, so coming out of the pen, yes.
Oh, that's all you had to say.
Okay, well, that's a very complex answer.
Garrett Matzik is here out of the bullpen for the Brewers extra innings rolling on 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. That game was incredible. Couldn't ask for a better game and win in that thrilling fashion. We were sitting next to each other here in the press box, Greg, and there were some expletives shared between us once Jackson Churio tied the game with the solo homer to the opposite field. I still sit here. I just kind of took it in for a moment of just like, this kid's 20. He's got Milwaukee in the palm of his hand right now, and he's playing like he's been in 30 postseasons. I mean, it's no big deal to him. It really is.
Well, happy birthday to you, first of all, we all know, and we talked about this pregame, it more of a birthday gift to you.
Truly.
Jackson and I had a long conversation about that. The first expletive that I muttered in the press box, I actually got a little chilly on my pants, but everything kind of rebounded after that. You know, I don't want to say it was a sluggish start because it very much had the feel of yesterday's game where there was some early activity. There's been no settling in process, mm-hmm. really, for either one of these teams. There have been some weird things that have happened. There's been some loud contact. There have been some, for lack of a better term, stoinkers that have sort of fallen in place and allowed for innings to continue. And then you're looking for that one big hit or that one big moment. Yesterday it was about the Mets capitalizing on a couple of Brewers' mistakes. Yeah, but the one thing the Mets have not done in two games is have that momentum backbreaking collection of long balls. And that's what the Brewers had tonight that helped pave the way to a victory. And you want to talk about big moments as Churio comes to the plate. You know, you and I had noted there's a section of Mets fans that sit pretty close to the Mets dugout here, right? Mm-hmm. Along third base side. And they were on their feet for the majority of the game.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's they don't need maybe a 400 fans, maybe. I don't even know if it's that much. They fill a section, but they are loud. Anything the Mets do, they are loud. And as Jackson Churio started to stroll to the plate in the eighth inning, I took notice, and there were several thousand fans on their feet. It's just the sense that this is time. This is the dude at the plate that everybody wants to see at the plate. I remember that with Yelly in 2018.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Right? I mean, that's the kind of vibe it had. You started to feel the buzz a little bit. Something's going to happen. And lo and behold, the guy hits an oppo bomb that was really a no-doubter. And we were just dumbfounded looking at each other. Like, what else can you expect out of this kid? And you said he just doesn't know any better. Maybe he does. What if he does? Right? I mean, isn't that scary? What if he does know better? Nothing is too big for him. That's the big takeaway from Jackson Churio. If the season wasn't enough to prove that to you, this small two-game sample size in the postseason should be everything to prove that to you.
And furthermore, he was actually asked earlier today on the podium with the media, it's like, hey, when did you start calling homers? Like, when did you start, like, getting, for lack of a better word, cocky about, I'm going to hit a homer today, and then do it. He's like, yeah, maybe like 2 months ago. And so like, even that swagger has only come recently for him. And I know a lot of people point to June as like the moment that, oh my gosh, like, hey, he's starting to turn. And like Murph talked about the Angels series tonight. For me, I thought the moment that it really turned to another level was that Braves series in Atlanta, the two-homer game off Charlie Morton in the finale of that series to sweep the Braves, who just got swept out of the postseason tonight. But the thought was, to me, it's like, this dude is realizing he's got power. He doesn't need to swing for the fences to attain that power. He can control the strike zone very well. He can hit it to wherever he wants. One of them went to the Chop House, and the other one went to deep left center field at Truist Park, and I'm just like, who has that kind of power at that age in that body at 20 years old at 6 foot flat? And quite frankly, he's like 185 soaking wet right now. He's 20. He's not done growing. He's going to get better in theory. He's going to get stronger. I'm just sitting here. It's like, this is how you're starting things. This is how you're coming out of the blocks. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's just like you mentioned, we talked about, like, it feels like Yelly. You feel like something's going to come up, and it just feels like Braun. It's like something's going to happen here.
But that's MVP Yelly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not rookie Yelly.
Yeah.
And the comparison I made in the press box with you is, you know, the excitement, the clutch gene, the ability at a young age to kind of take control of a game. I hadn't seen anything like that in a Brewers uniform since Braun. Now, there's some other big names that come to mind, Prince, JJ, and Ricky Weeks, but they were collective, right? And each one of those guys had marvelous moments with the Milwaukee Brewers. Prince got MVP votes, for goodness sake. But that was a collection of rookies that made their mark about the same time in the league. Braun had something different about him when he was called up. I remember having Doug Melvin on a Sports Central program I hosted on WTMJ. Doug was in Nashville watching Ryan play. They called him up that day, and I was talking to Doug, and they said he's ready. And he went to San Diego and proved that he was ready, hitting balls out of a park that people don't hit the ball out of. But he had that kind of mixed field power that seemed rare, and it was just a couple years later that he was an MVP. So you want to talk about a ceiling. I don't even know what the ceiling is for Jackson Chourio. What we saw tonight was nothing short of remarkable. What we saw in game one was pretty special, too.
Yeah, he's just been hitting a new level all the while. He made the final out tonight. And yes, he made the mistake yesterday defensively. He's learned from that. And let's see if he's able to adjust and make another play the next time he's called upon. So I'll ask you what I asked Augie, looking ahead at Tobias Myers tomorrow. And Tobias is arguably the best feel-good story of the Brewers this year. He had an ERA north of 7 in the minor leagues 2 years ago, 1-15 record on his sixth different organization. He saw the long game when he signed with the Brewers. It was a two-year minor league deal, and he got sent to AA last year when he had already pitched in AAA. He had been on Major League 40-man rosters but had yet to make his big league debut. And he came up in April, wasn't quite ready, but he pitched well in Pittsburgh. He got beat up a little bit by the Yankees, then scuffled a little bit there at the end of April, gets sent back down. Joe Ross gets hurt, gets brought right back up. And then that start against the Detroit Tigers changed everything. 8 shutout innings, and he's been a whole new man ever since, and now he gets the ball tomorrow, and the story hopefully is just another chapter, and the book's not closed after tomorrow's game.
He's earned it. He's definitely earned it. You can make the argument he could have started tonight.
Yeah.
Could have made the argument that Savali should have started tonight. Maybe Montas gets a couple innings yesterday, right? Everybody was wondering how this was going to sort of play out, but once you saw the game sort of evolve and you knew it was going to be sort of tight, you saw some of the high leverage guys warm up very early in this game. Trevor Megill was getting loose in the third. We saw Joe Ross get hot 3 separate times. I had joked that he threw 200 pitches in the bullpen, then came in and did his lights out work as a guy who had been DFA'd and hadn't been in the league for several years. Another great story here. Brewers roster is full of them. If we've learned anything from Pat Murphy through the first two games, it is this. It's not about pitch count. It's where you are in the lineup and when that third turn is coming about. Now, today, I thought was interesting. Frankie Montas was fine, had kind of a self-destructive air at first base that allowed a couple unearned runs to score, though he was certainly involved in the play that allowed for unearned runs to score, which is kind of a strange rule. But nonetheless, the difference with last night's start for Freddie and tonight's start for Frankie is that Murphy allowed Frankie Montas to pitch to the bottom of the lineup before Francisco Lindor got up for a third time. And then he made a mid-inning pitch change. He didn't allow Freddie to do that. And I don't know if he could go back on the decision if he would do it different, let Freddie go, those final three batters. I don't know. I don't know if that was a sign of, well, it didn't work out exactly how we wanted to last night. Why don't we let our guy go a little further in here? Let's let him get through this lineup 2 full times and make a mid-inning change. And it worked with Trevor Megill coming in and doing what he did, topping out at 101, I think. So if we've learned anything, I think it's Tobias Myers doesn't have a certain amount of innings or a certain number of pitches. It's all about lineup.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to get 18 batters. Whether he's starting the game or if there's suddenly an opener tomorrow remains to be seen, but I'm excited for him because I think he's a guy that can really feed off the crowd in a way that helps his stuff. I mean, he doesn't have the most overpowering secondary stuff, but the fastball is so dynamic with how it gets on you, and they can't see it very well, and it's such a different arm angle, and I'm just excited for Tobias and the story, right? We fall victim to the story. And I was talking to Tyler Kepner of the New York Times and now The Athletic of just about the stories around this team and that there are just too many to count because this team is
different than the others, right? They don't have a lot of postseason pedigree on this club, especially the guys that are healthy per se, right? No Yelly right now, and no Wade Miley, and no Brandon Woodruff. The playoff pedigree guys aren't available. So it's like, who's going to be the new guys to write their chapter? He wrote a book, The Grandest Stage, about the World Series. And, I mean, shoot, maybe one day we get some more Brewers chapters in there, because there's a little bit of 82 in there, and I would highly recommend folks talk about it. But tonight's a night that, if this is the magical run that gets them back to the Fall Classic, tonight's the game that you say, hey, remember that game? Remember when they were up against elimination in Game 2? Well, they were almost out of it in the wild card round. And these are the games that you remember about if they can win tomorrow.
So let's say that we get four innings tomorrow.
Okay.
Four innings tomorrow out of your starter. Who's the high leverage reliever that comes in the fifth? I would have to assume that it's possible Pyamps is going to be okay and available, but I'm not banking on it. Is it a repeat with McGill?
I think it's depending on where you are in the lineup, right? If it's like that top third of Lindor and you've got Lindor
Nimmo
and Iglesias, and like I could see that being McGill. But maybe if you're in like the bottom third, maybe not just Pyamps, but Nick Mears looked really darn good on the other night too. Right-handed, righties have a hard time with him. And because it's the fifth inning per se, you still would have McGill available. You still would have Pyamps available for later. And, you know, if something goes wrong, it's only the fifth inning and you still got time to come back.
I'm going to be interested to see how that happens. That's been sort of the MO here is, you get as much as you can out of your starter. When that third time of the lineup comes around, yank him, go to a high leverage guy who can fire it up there and has got some pretty nasty stuff for, you know, an inning, maybe four outs, something like that, and then you move on. Then it was back to Savale yesterday, and so you can kind of mix and match however you want. The Brewers do have the benefit of enough lefties and enough righties, enough flamethrowers and enough guys who can paint corners. They've got some good flexibility here, and the only guy who I would say is maybe on the fringe of not being available tomorrow is Yoel Pyamps.
Yeah, I agree. Greg, appreciate you as always.
That's fun stuff, man.
We got another one tomorrow, man.
Let it continue, man. I say this, right? I mean, it's now 164 games into this season, if you think of this as an extended regular season. But 164 games, what has really changed about this Brewers team? You've seen young guys excel, take steps forward, which is great. But this team from the get-go is really been about all the right things. And, you know, even if they'd lost this game tonight, I think you could still safely say that. This team is never too afraid of the moment. Two outs is two outs. It's not three. It's two. There's no reason to get down after two outs. They piece things together as well as any team in recent memory. And they just don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
Right? Just whatever, right? Doubt us? Cool. We'll just go do what we do.
Two more two-out runs there in the eighth on the two-run homer from Garrett Mitchell. Another note about today, they only struck out five times. Five strikeouts
yeah.
in a playoff game. That's putting the ball in play, putting pressure on the defense, make you make the play. There weren't any errors from the Mets, but obviously the ball left the fence, went over the fence a couple of times too. So, yeah, the little things are being done well. The
Mets played a pretty good ball game,
they
too.
They really did.
A pretty clean ball game. It's a pretty strong, solid baseball game
These
played tonight.
These two teams matched up so well, too. I think the Brewers obviously have the edge in the bullpen, but the Mets' defense isn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, especially with some of the plays Lindor made tonight, even though they weren't all outs. That's a platinum glove or gold glove type player.
Yeah.
And he's playing hurt. He's playing through some back issues right now. So I just, man, this has been fun, and whatever happens tomorrow, we get to watch an elimination game for baseball. It is so rare to say everything's on the table for both teams where, you know, this is the equivalent of a Game 7, right? I mean, it's only the wild card round, but the pressure only ratchets up from here.
Be a lot of eyes on this game tomorrow with the other series, a couple of them having finished up today.
Yeah,
so, right,
everything
is kind of it. So all eyes on this tomorrow. And if you don't know much about Brewers baseball, watch tomorrow and get a good sense for what it's all about.
You're going to love it, and you can hear it right here on WTMJ. Greg Matzik, appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll talk
to you tomorrow. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Let's do it again.
Finally have an age number that matches my hairline, so we're all good here. We have the same barber. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And there's still time to get your annual furnace tune-up. And you can save $20 on your furnace tune-up when you go to Sider.com. That's Sider.com. Families helping families since 1912. Hey, a lot of folks tweeting, texting, asking, and for good reason, I understand. Hey, Bob, you didn't call the games the last two games. Hey, let's all take a deep breath. The man makes his schedule. And he did do the pregame show today. He was in the house today. When Bob feels ready to go, he will go. I promise you that. He was in the building today. Let's let the man save some stamina. He's in the bullpen. He's ready to go. We got some of the best in the biz here with Jeff and Lane and Josh if needed to. So, hey, Bob was here today. He did the manager show. Let's let the man save some stamina because this could be a very long playoff run. Okay, let's tap the brakes. All going to be A-OK. Again, tomorrow, 6:08, first pitch. 6:08, 6:08, 6:08, 6:08. We'll be on the air at 5:30, coming in straight from WTMJ programming into the network coverage here on your home of the Brewers. Want to play some of the audio here from the evening down in the press box or down from the clubhouse and down from Pat Murphy. This one, courtesy of Greg Matzik, who was just here. The whole scrum that was Willy Adames with everybody at his locker earlier this evening. He was on base when Garrett Mitchell hit the home run.
Describe the emotions as you're on second base, or you're on base and you see that ball go over the wall that Garrett had.
I didn't see it. No? I was running.
Okay.
Yeah, I stopped when I touched third base was then when I that I realized that it was a homer. I was going, man. I needed to score there.
Can you take us through that at bat of yours? I mean, you're down 0-2 and you're fighting to keep that inning going.
At that moment, man, you know, you got to battle. You have to get on base. You got to find a way to get on base. And at that bat, you know, I was just fighting, you know, try to get it, maybe a walk or something. But I needed to put the ball in play and try to get the first because, you know, we got to keep that momentum going in that inning. That was huge. And you know, I was able to get a pitch to, you know, to put the ball in play and it's lucky enough to get a hit.
How settling was that for you, Willie? Because it seems like you just missed a couple of times already this series.
It's been like that, yeah. It's been like that. But, you know, I feel like it's part of the game. Is, you know, like you say, when you just miss, it's like you're right there, but you're still not, you know, it's not good enough for you to hit the barrel. But, you know, I felt great, you know, after I got that hit because, you know, I kept the inning alive and, you know, we were able to score two runs after that.
You lead this team in homers, but this team isn't necessarily known for homers. How important is it when you can get that big hit like you did three times tonight?
I mean, I think in the postseason that a homer is like a momentum changer, you know. Like when you hit a homer in the postseason, that changed the whole energy in the clubhouse, I mean, in the dugout. And you saw it today. I mean, Churio, unbelievable. First inning, we were down 1-0. First at bat, boom, homer. I changed the momentum right away, and he's unbelievable, man. That guy's crazy.
What was the dugout like when that one went over the wall, Jackson?
So we were going insane. I mean, I was like almost in first base, yelling, "Let's go!" You know, it was insane. The energy was crazy.
Did he call this one, really?
No. He didn't call that one. I wish he did though, because I mean, he did it twice today.
Kind of like a big brother to him throughout the year. Like, how proud are you of just how he's handled
himself?
Not the results, but just the way he's handled.
It's also unbelievable. We just told him, I said, man, I'm proud of you. You know, the way that you're showing up this postseason. I mean, you're 20 years old. You're a kid, man. And you just going out there and performing, you know, when we need you the most. Like, that's something that he was just born with that.
What about Garrett, too? I mean, he's another young guy who hasn't played a full major league season yet. For him to deliver in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, insane. I mean, I feel like he's done some, you know, he hit some clutch hits, you know, throughout the year. But I know for him that felt amazing, and for the team felt unbelievable. That changed the whole game right there, and he gave us an opportunity to play game three tomorrow.
How crucial is it to keep this momentum for tomorrow now?
I mean, it's crucial. I mean, it's... We have to keep this momentum. If not, we're going home. So we have to win tomorrow, no matter what. So we have to carry this momentum and come tomorrow and go out there and compete and, you know, give 100%.
You give the ball. As that game gets later and later, and, you know, the Mets are, whatever it was, six out to do you start thinking, oh, my God, are we going to end another season in the first round? Does that ever enter your mind?
I don't think we were thinking about it today. I mean, in the clubhouse, we didn't. You didn't see the energy going down at any point today. And I think that was great. That was huge that, you know, we stay like positive the whole game, and you know we were able to come back. And I mean, we did that a lot this whole year, but to do it in the postseason, I think that's incredible.
Incredible. He's right. I mean, to just keep coming back and finding ways to get the job done is what the captain Willy Adames said, and I agree with everything there. Now let's play a little bit of what Garrett and Jackson had to say on the podium with the media. Keep in mind also Jackson using team interpreter and coach Daniel DeMonticer. They did a great job. Here's the guys after today's win.
Garrett, we've talked a lot about Jackson Churio's journey over the course of the season, but like we were just talking about with Pat, it's been kind of a journey for you as well, you know, coming in sort of midway through the year, coming off of injury. How would you describe it looking at the whole season now, especially with this moment to maybe not the cap, but especially with this baked in, how would you describe the 2024 season for you?
Yeah, I mean, not really looking backwards, you know. There's been a lot of stuff that's gone over the years. But that doesn't mean the work stops. You got to keep going. You got to keep pushing. You got to keep getting better. So as for your question, I just show up every day ready to compete and do whatever I got to do and help the team win in whatever ways are possible. So, I mean, I don't even know what else to say. I'm just happy to be here. I'm grateful, thankful. Come back out of here and do it again tomorrow.
Go fourth row to the right.
For Jackson, it doesn't seem like the postseason, the pressure that's getting to you at all, obviously, the way you're performing. Just where does that confidence come from, and how do you manage to maintain your poise and keep from feeling nervous in those situations?
No se siente como la presión de los playoffs te ha afectado. ¿Cómo tú mantienes esa confianza y mantener a tú mismo calmado durante el juego?
No, la verdad que la presión siempre va a estar. Pienso que uno tiene que saber cómo controlarla, uno tiene que saber lo que es como jugador y nada, controlarse, solamente vivir el momento y seguir jugando, dándolo todo.
Yeah, you know, the pressure's always going to be there. And so, you know, as a player, our job is to just control it the best way possible. And so it's to go out there and, you know, find the moments where we can control it and just keep going out there and doing what we do.
First row to the right.
Jackson, how does that eighth inning from you guys just describe the overall year, the mindset of this team that you guys have?
¿Cómo el octavo puede describir el año entero que nosotros hemos tenido?
La verdad que un año muy bueno, un año increíble, por así decirlo, de mi parte y tanto de todos los muchachos. La verdad que hemos hecho un buen trabajo y hoy se vio el fruto de todo eso.
Yeah, you know, it's just been an incredible year. There's not a whole lot much more to say other than that. It's been an incredible year for everyone, for all the guys in that clubhouse, and I think we saw the fruits that were bared from that.
Third row to the right, Tyler.
Two for Garrett. First of all, when you come into the game as a pinch runner and kind of everybody's like, he's going to go, and you get thrown out, how do you move on from that? How do you stop from dwelling on that and just hope for another opportunity?
There's 27 outs. Game ain't over yet, you know? When you look at situations like that, right, it's like even if the whole world knows you're going, things happen. It was a great throw. It was right on my hand, so there's not much that I could have done looking back at it. But I got back in the dugout. Everyone gave me a smack on the butt, said, keep going. Without words, I looked at Murph. Murph looked at me, smiled, and we just kept pushing.
The other one, I guess you're on deck when Willie gets down the count 0-2. Two outs, nobody on, and then fouls them off. Great at bat. What was your view of that and how important that was to set up your big moment?
He's been doing it all year. He's a true leader on and off the field. You see it day in and day out from our perspective, right? And I would say that you guys see it too, just the presence he brings. He's always prepared in the big moment, and the kind of that motivates you if you're behind him, right? You see the type of battle he put up. I think that kind of just led into me going up there trying to have that confidence too, just being prepared, knowing that they got to get a pitch over the plate in somehow, some way, and try to get an out. So, it starts with him. You know, it starts with the a bat that he put together. And like we've done all year, we just continue to fight. No matter how many outs there are. And the we talk about it every night, but like win tonight. Do whatever it takes. And that's what we did.
Win tonight worked. Once again, that's what the message has been since day one of spring training. And when it's finally put to the test, when in its ultimate meaning and its ultimate definition, you had to win tonight. And then tomorrow, you got to win tonight. And it passes tonight. Let's see if it gets another victory to move on to the NLDS tomorrow. Let's relive it. Highlights coming up next. Then we'll get ready to wrap up the program. Brewers get the win. They have forced a game three. Back after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Do or die, game two of the National League Wild Card Series. Mets and Brewers. Frankie Montas starting for the Crew. Sean Manaea for the Mets. However, the Mets would jump out to a 1-0 lead in the first inning thanks to an RBI single from Brandon Nimmo. They would escape the frame, though, with a double play. In the bottom of the first, with a lefty on the mound, Jackson Chourio got the spot in the leadoff. And, well, he made some history. Fly ball right field. Hit a ton. We're tied. Jackson Chourio, his first postseason home run, ties this game in the bottom of the first. Jeff Levering's call here on WTMJ was the first homer for either team in the series, and Chourio became the youngest player in baseball history to hit a leadoff homer in the postseason. However, no shutdown inning for the Crew. Two unearned runs would score in the second after a dropped catch from Frankie Montas covering first base. What is it about first base in this series? But nonetheless, it was 3-1 Mets. The Brewers went to their bullpen early. In the fourth inning, in fact, Trevor McGill left a man stranded in the fourth as he returned for the fifth inning. He struck out Iglesias on a 101-mile-an-hour fastball. He struck out Vientos on a curveball. He hit Nimmo, but with him on second base, had no problem with Alonso.
The pitch struck him out with a curveball. McGill strikes out the side. Crowd coming alive as we go to the bottom of the fifth inning. The Brewers are chasing a couple of runs. It's 3-1 New York.
He would challenge his dugout walking into the dugout, firing them back up, and the Brewers would respond. In the bottom of the fifth, they got a sacrifice fly from Blake Perkins, so that made it a one-run game and the Brewers' bullpen in full force. However, Yoel Piamps returns for the sixth inning after struggling last night. He allowed the first two batters to reach, and then after getting two quick outs, they intentionally walked Lindor to load the bases to face Jose Iglesias.
1-2 pitch. Struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
And once again, the Brewers' offense failed to get anything going. Garrett Mitchell came in as a pinch runner. He was thrown out trying to steal. We fast forward to the top of the eighth inning. A leadoff walk is always a rally in the postseason. Joe Ross is on the mound. But with one out, he finally got some Brewers' help from his defense.
Pitched Alvarez. Swinging a bouncer hit to third. Double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one. To first, a double play. 5-4-3, and the Brewers turn two and get out of the eighth.
That also has avoided facing Francisco Lindor in the eighth inning. Still down by a run. 3-2 in the bottom of the eighth, and Jackson Chourio really introduced himself to October.
The pitch. Fly ball. Right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Chourio.
Again, the only two players in Major League Baseball history to have multiple game-tying homers in a postseason game. Jackson Chourio tonight and Babe Ruth in 1928. Insane company for the 20-year-old. But the Brewers weren't done in the inning. With two outs and nobody aboard, Willy Adames a two-strike single into left. Garrett Mitchell making his first at-bat of the game. The first pitch looked nice.
Adames, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up and it's gone! Off the top of the wall and out of
5-3 Brewers. They get three long balls tonight. They take the lead and hand the ball to the airbender in the ninth.
2-2 pitch. Lined out towards left center. Churio is there. Game three is on the way tomorrow. From off the mat, the Brewers scored three times in the bottom of the eighth inning. Churio tied it. Garrett Mitchell with the decisive two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. And game three is coming to Milwaukee tomorrow night.
6:08 will be the first pitch tomorrow night as the Brewers win in advance, and they would get the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's preview it coming up next as we get ready to say goodnight after this on WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, let's all exhale. That was a day. That was a full day. Brewers win game three tomorrow. Let's land the plane here. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks to everybody who's tuned in tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow. Don't worry. We've got plenty of coverage with this one. This text from our old friend Tommy, older producer here at WTMJ. Will the Brewers run it back with the same lineup tomorrow? Probably. I mean, yeah. Probably. Maybe. I would love to find a way to get Terang a little bit higher, but at the same time, it's like, I mean, I think probably. I think they run it back. This one, feel bad for Yelly. He has to be dying. Just get out there. You know, baseball's a cruel game sometimes, but he's been still super supportive to the team. Fun to be around the club and enjoying some more playoff baseball. Tomorrow, 6:08, first pitch here on WTMJ. Our coverage will begin at 5:30. We'll all have Brewers fever. Those who know, they remember the song. Turning up the heat here at American Family Field as the Brewers get ready for a do-or-die elimination game, Game 3. Stuff of Legends could be formed tomorrow. The pitching matchup, Jose Quintana for the Mets. Brewers have seen him, just a couple of times. Just a few times. And up against Tobias Myers. And Tobias pitched on Saturday last weekend in the finale of the regular season. So Tobias has some familiarity with the Mets. We'll see what happens. I'm just fired up, man. This was a heck of a day. It looked bleak for a few minutes. Now I can finally eat one of these cupcakes that I've been staring at all day. To everybody who wished a happy birthday, thank you so much. Appreciate everyone who texted. If I didn't get to your text, I apologize. You're always welcome to call in, and we'll have a great show, win or lose, tomorrow for you. They finally got one done, but the job ain't finished, right? In the words of Kobe Bryant, you know, what's there a smile about? Job's not finished. So finish the job tomorrow. Win tonight. At least in 22 minutes, it can say win tonight. Again, 6:08, first pitch. Tickets are available online for $10 right now on Brewers.com. So go get you some tickets. Get here to the ballpark. And let's have some fun. Only show in town tomorrow. Let's have some fun. I'm just fired up. Playoff baseball, there is absolutely nothing like it. My thanks to Greg Matzik, to Jerry Augustine, and to our rock star producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dom Catronio. Good night. I'm 1-0 as a 30-year-old. The Brewers are alive. One more elimination game tomorrow. Let's see what they can do. Until next time, keep on swinging.